All right, let's take our Bibles and go over to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And we've been going over this different dispensational timeline here through the Bible and trying to study it and rightly divide our text verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we're just been kind of going through here, looking at different time periods and how it's broke out in the scriptures, and trying to study the Bible how God would have us to. And so we've already went through here, and we looked at the first few dispensations. We looked at the dispensation of innocence there in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve there, and what God told them to do and how they disobeyed. We looked at the dispensation of innocency, the dispensation of conscience, where God gave them their conscience, and he told them to obey their conscience and do what was instructed of them. They had the illustration of the garden, and they did every evil thing they could imagine. And then we looked at the dispensation of human government, where God told them to govern one another. It's where he instituted the death penalty and instituted the capital punishment there. And they ended up disobeying God there also. They all came together. They would not govern one another. And they built a tower, the Tower of Babel there. And God confounded the language and spread them out. And so now we're getting into another time here, the dispensation of promise. The dispensation of promise. And this is where God is going to call him out a people. And he's going to call out Abraham here, who's the father of the Jews. Now this dispensational time period covers Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And it goes through Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, when you're following through in their Bible. But to go back and look at the Abrahamic covenant and the promise that God made to Abraham and his seed, we're going to go back here and look at Genesis chapter number 3 and look at verse number 16. Oh, nope, not Genesis chapter 3. Hold on. Got the wrong passage written down here. Oh boy, hold on. Where, Brother Heights, where did he give the Abrahamic covenant? 12. Oh yeah, that's where I was there. Okay, yeah, chapter 12. All right. I had the wrong passage written down there. All right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. All right, so here's where we find that the Abrahamic covenant that was given to Abraham and his seed. And this dispensation is called the dispensation of promise. So Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so God made this promise with him here. Now, this dispensation, it begins with a calling out of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Jews, and God called him out, and it's going to end with the coming of the promised seed. And there's two covenants associated with this dispensation. Number one, you have the Abrahamic covenant. Look over at Genesis chapter number 15. Look at Genesis 15. We're about to see here. Yeah, Genesis chapter number 15. The Abrahamic covenant. This was a covenant that was unconditional. Unconditional. Genesis chapter number 15, look at verse number 4. Genesis 15, verse 4, and the Bible says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." And so a part of the Abrahamic covenant, there was a seed was promised to him. And as some of y'all know, the story there of Abram, where he got his handmaid there, was given to him by his wife, and he had another child, Ishmael, but that wasn't supposed to be the promised seed. It came through Israel. And so this seed was promised unto Abraham, a people was promised that God was going to call out. Not only that, but look at verse number 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So not only was a seed promised to Abraham, but land was promised to Abraham. And I tell you what, all the religious wars that are going on in the Middle East right there have to do with land. That's what's going on right now. It's a fight over that land that God gave to the nation of Israel, and everybody else wants to try to take it. And there's a war going on right now over that. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Genesis 15, 18, dealing with this land. And the Bible says there, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. There's this promise he made with him, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Camodonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Ammonites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. And so he gave all these ites this land and divided it up there. But this land was promised to him and his seed. And again, this was an unconditional covenant. This is something that God didn't put a condition on. It was unconditional that he was going to give them this land. Look over at Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. Again, continuing this Abrahamic covenant. These are different things that God told Abraham that he would do for him and his seed. These are the covenant that God made with them. Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So a part of this covenant here, Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. And he's the father of the Jews. He's the one that was called out. This covenant would be sealed by circumcision. Look there in Genesis chapter 17, verse number 9. Genesis 17, 9. I'm just trying to give you kind of an overlook of what this covenant. There's so many verses here that could be read. Genesis 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And so this circumcision is what sealed this covenant. And this was something the Jews had to do. And if you remember when you read over in the New Testament, and we'll get to it when we get into the seventh dispensation of the dispensation of grace, but Paul would go in and he would preach that you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, add nothing to it, take nothing away. You're saved by grace through faith. And there were Jews that came into the Gentile church there in Galatia, when you read the book of Galatians, and they were trying to tell those people, well, you're saved, but you got to be circumcised. Y'all remember reading some of that over there, if you've done it? And so they were telling them that they had to do something in addition to just being saved by grace through faith. They had to be circumcised physically in order to be saved. And Paul was trying to tell them, no, guys, something's changed. There was something different. Back here, this is what they had to do. This was a part of what they had to do as a child of God. They had to be circumcised there at the 8 days old and so forth. And, man, if you got bought with money, I guess, if they bought a servant or something, and he had to be circumcised too, and it'd be a bad time to be a servant. And they had to do all these things, and this was a part of sealing that covenant. And this is what they had to do. And so when you say, well, what was the plan of salvation during this time? During the dispensation of promise, they had to follow what God told them to do. They had to, this part here, they had to be circumcised. Not only that, but go back to Genesis chapter number 12. You know what God told Abraham? This is what God told Abraham. And if you study through the Old Testament and you read through there, you go through Jeremiah, you go and read, I like the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He had a burden for his people. And you can't read the book of Jeremiah and live in this country and not see a picture of America when you read Jeremiah. And as a preacher, you see it should break your heart seeing the condition. And over and over and over again, when Jeremiah and these prophets are dealing with the nation of Israel that God called out, he called out Abraham, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, what was the one command over and over and over and over and over again that he gave his people? Stay in the land. Stay out of Egypt and stay in the land. You read through there over and over and over again. God commanded them to stay in the land. Stay out of Egypt and stay in the land. God used Egypt. Whenever there was a famine going on, he used Egypt to feed God's people. But then the people were supposed to go eat and leave, but they stayed. And then they ended up in bondage, and they disobeyed God. But during this dispensation, God put them in the land. He promised them he would feed them, he would take care of them, he would bless them, and told them to stay there. And we're going to see in a minute they didn't do it. Look at Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. As I'm going through these dispensations, man, there's a whole lot of stuff in these passages and things that went on with things like Abraham and Lot. Abraham disobeyed God and some of those things, and he had Lot there with. There's so much preaching, there's so much teaching in here, but we're just trying to cover just the overview of each one. Genesis chapter 13, look at verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Does it not say forever? Does that ever end? It does not. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came to dwell in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot here in these passages, but God told Abraham right here in this verse to look. He said, look all around and see. He said, I'm going to give you all this. It's yours. And then the very next verse is Abram removed his tent. Amen. Right there from the get-go, he moved it on. They still had a conscience that God gave them that would either excuse or unexcuse them. They still had that. They also still had a human government. The human government was still in place at this time. You say, what did man end up doing to mess up the dispensation of promise? And the answer is they left the land that God told them to stay in. And there's a lot of verses on that also, but let me just give you one. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 8. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. God just got done telling them about this land. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hiah on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, this is a picture of what the children of Israel ultimately ended up doing. They left the land, and God, they went down to Egypt during this time. I told you just for in a nutshell, they went down to Egypt, and y'all know the most of y'all know the story of Joseph, and he went down there, and he ended up getting a slave in Egypt there, and God ended up blessing him, and he got in trouble with Potiphar's wife, or he didn't get in trouble with them, but she lied about him and all those things, and he ended up being a prince, and he ended up being in high position there. And then the children of Israel were able to come, and they were able to be fed during the famine. God used Egypt. God used them mightily. But they were supposed to leave Egypt, and they did not leave, and they ended up in bondage. God would get them out of bondage. He would redeem them. He would try to put them back in the land. Y'all remember the kid's story about the 12 spies? 12 men went down to Egypt. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The children's song that most of you probably heard growing up. And they went down there, and God said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the victory. It's yours. I want you to live in that land. And they got down there, and they saw the giants, and they got scared, and they went running with their tail between their legs. The two men that were good, they said, I think we can do it. God's on our side. We can take this land back. And they didn't do it. They ended up wandering around the wilderness all those years. And so they did not stay in the land. And I challenge you sometime to read through those prophets and read through there and see how many times God told them, if you would have stayed in the land, I told you to stay in the land. I want you to stay in the land. It's over and over and over and over and over again. And there's Jeremiah, there's a message I preach out of there on the thoughts of a backslider before returning to Egypt. And the people came to Jeremiah, and they said, we want you to go to the Lord for us, and whatever he tells you to tell us, we're going to obey it. We're going to do whatever God says. And Jeremiah went and talked to the Lord and came back, and Jeremiah said, God wants you to stay in the land. Do not go back to Egypt. Stay right here. I'm going to take care of you. You know what the people said? You're lying to us. God didn't tell you that. But over and over and over and over and over again, God told them to stay in the land, and they didn't do it. And guess what they're trying to do today? They're trying to get that land back. There's still parts of that land they don't have. And that's where a lot of this fighting and a lot of this war is going on over in the Middle East. It's over some land that God gave to the nation of Israel. They're going to get it back one day. They're going to, but man, it would have been a whole lot easier if they'd have just parked right there and stayed, amen? Now you got all these Jews all over the country, and they're trying to come back to Israel and all these things, and they'd have been a whole lot better off if they'd have just stayed right there. So what happened? Because they disobeyed, they did not stay in the land. God, they lived in the age of innocence. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is what God told them not to do. God gave them a conscience. The Bible says they did every evil thing they could imagine. God said, all right, that didn't work. Well, you got the social human government, govern one another. They didn't obey that. God called out a special people. He called out Abraham, the father of many nations. He said, I'm going to call out a people, stay in the land, you're going to be my people. And they left the land. They scattered. They went to Egypt. They ended up in bondage. All kind of things happened. And so when God brought them again out of Egypt, look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter number 19. You say, okay, well, what happened? Because they did not obey. Well, God ends up giving them the law. He gave them a law to govern the people. Have you ever got instructions from somebody and they said, hey, let me just write it down for you? Amen? Like at work when we go get something to eat. Miss Ashley's here. She works with me. I don't want to embarrass her, but say, let me just write it down, because if I get back, it'll have onions on it, and I don't want onions on it. Let me write it down. So God with his finger, that's what the Bible says, he wrote out this law. He said, here, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to tell you, next week, we're going to be eating turkey next week, in 2 weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to show you that when God presented the law to the nation of Israel, Brother Bowen, He didn't force it on them. He gave it to them, and they agreed to that contract. He gave it to them, and the people looked over it and said, yep, we'll do it. They agreed to it. It wasn't something God forced on them. God wrote it out, and the people said, we will do it. They agreed to this contract between them and God and said, we can do this. We come to find out they can't do it. Amen. I thank God we live under grace. As we're going through here, I hope you can see that things were not always the same. They were not always the same. There's things that had to be done differently. And if you didn't do it, then, you know, that you were in trouble. Just like the circumcision. They said, hey, if you got somebody and they're not going to be circumcised to seal this covenant, they're out. That's what He told them right there. They shall be cut off from His people. And because they broke the covenant there. All right, Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 3. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And if you don't know what that is, when God rescued them out of Egypt, He parted the Red Sea. The Bible says they walked across on dry land. I mean, I've seen pictures and stuff of there being like a little puddle or something. The Bible says dry land. It was dusty when they went across there. They walked across. Well, as soon as the children of Israel cleared and all the Egyptians were falling behind them, God let the water come back and just completely swallowed up those Egyptians. He said, so, and the children of Israel saw these things. They saw God working. It's amazing that they saw God work in all these ways. And then it comes down to something small like God feed them. And they said, God, how's He going to feed us? Did you not see Him part the water and you walk across on dry land? I got a message that I haven't preached here, but I might preach one day, Lord willing, called Seeing What the Sea Saw. The sea saw some things that day. And maybe, Lord willing, we'll preach that one day. But it says there, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God told them, if you will. And I'm going to show you next week where they agreed to it. It wasn't something, I mean, the children of it, it's not like they said, no, we're not doing that. That they agreed to it. I'm going to show you that next week. All right, let me just give you a couple more notes, and then we'll be done tonight with this one. This dispensation, the dispensation of promise, is where the middle wall of partition went up. The middle wall of partition. All right, the middle wall of partition was the sign of circumcision. This is where God said, hey, this is what's going to separate the Jews from everybody else. All right? I'm going to read a verse over in Ephesians chapter 2 in just a second that discusses this wall. But go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 11. It's one we already read. But there was a line drawn in the sand during this dispensation. There's a line drawn. God said, I'm calling me out of people, and they are going to be my people. Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. And I'm going to choose you as my people. And this circumcision is what sealed this covenant. It's what sealed it. And there's a wall of partition that was made that day. And you're either on the right side of the wall or the wrong side of the wall. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And I'm not going to go on and read the rest of it like I did earlier, but God sets this thing up here, and He sets this wall up, and this circumcision separates those people who were God's people from the rest. And you say, well, what if I wasn't a Jew? What would I have to do? Well, you had to do what the Jew had to do. If you were going to be a part of them, just like they said, say you were a slave and you're just a Gentile, if you wanted to get in on the grace of God and you wanted to get in on the blessings of the Jews, you had to do what the Jew had to do. You had to go in there and you had to be circumcised. Say, hey, I'm going to do what they're doing to get in on this thing. There was a wall that was set up. Those who wanted to be on the right side of the wall, which is God's side, they had to be circumcised. They had to do this thing. This wall was fortified by the law that was given. It's what strengthened this wall. That law was a set thing that they had to do, that God, a contract between God and man that was set up, that was erected there, and they had to do these things, and it's what fortified this wall. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to those saints at Ephesus here, and this is also written to us in our dispensation, the age of grace that we live in. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Are you still there? Say amen. Amen. All right, Ephesians 2, 11. The Bible says, wherefore remember, he's talking to the church, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. I don't believe, we don't have anybody here that's a Jew tonight, do we? That's by flesh. All right. He's talking to these Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The Jews were considered the circumcision because that's what they did. There was a wall of partition there. And when you go back over and you study, like over there in Galatians, they would look at somebody and say, hey, he's uncircumcised. You know what he's saying? He's not one of us. He's not on the right side of the wall. He's on the wrong side. He's uncircumcised. And, Jesus, when he was over there preaching, he would jump all over those Pharisees and stuff. He'd call them uncircumcised and vipers and a generation of vipers. He'd call them all kind of names. He probably wouldn't make it in most, he probably wouldn't make it down to the First Baptist Church. They probably would kick him out in a heartbeat. Jesus has some hard sayings. Brother Brian started preaching on that, and that's going to be a good series of messages on some of the things that Jesus preached. And so the circumcision, which were in the flesh, notice that in the flesh were the Jews. The uncircumcision were those Gentiles. And he goes on to say there that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. That's the one we're talking about, the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he became the ultimate sacrifice for sin. He fulfilled the law. He obeyed the law. He kept it. And he was that sacrifice. And he tore down that middle wall of partition. And now a Jew or a Gentile can get saved. Now there's still circumcision involved in salvation. And if you remember me talking about, when I talked about the basic Bible beliefs, I talked about spiritual circumcision. It's one of the heart. It's where God, the day that you get saved, God goes in and he separates your soul from your flesh. And he seals that soul with the Holy Spirit of God, and that you're saved until the day of redemption, until we go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to break that seal. And that's that spiritual circumcision. Now, circumcision, even when you go through the book of Acts, and I told you this a moment ago, and you look at Galatians and you read that, that was still a big deal to the Jews. And it was an issue to the Jews. They actually took Paul to council because they said, hey, he's preaching a different gospel, which he was preaching what God told him to preach. He was preaching a different gospel where he's telling people, you don't have to be physically circumcised. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. By grace and faith are you saved. And Paul had to explain to them, He had to explain to these people at the council, hey, that wall got torn down. No longer is it that physical circumcision. God tore down the wall, and Paul was revealed, and Paul explained to them that now Jews and Gentiles can both be saved by grace through faith and put into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that middle wall of partition was broke down. But you go back and you study this dispensation of promise, there was a wall that was put up. And God gave him this law, which we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week. And God gave him this thing, and this is what fortified that wall that was erected that day when God set that up and set the dispensation up. All right, let's all stand. I hope this makes sense. I hope it's not confusing. Pray that it's not confusing. And Lord willing, we'll look at it again here in a few weeks. The dispensation of law is what we're going to look at next.